Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, the host, and for the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned, because this could be the most important 30 minutes in your entire life. Our show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it's always done without manipulation. That means simply that we are not here to convince you of anything. We're not here to persuade you of anything, only to document information. That information comes from the Bible. It is the Word of God. I'm not here to argue whether it's real or not real. I'm not here to argue whether Jesus Christ is the Son of God or not the Son of God, even though I firmly believe that He is. And the Bible strictly says, he that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's in 1 John 5:1, actually, and you can read it for yourself. The word believe is found throughout the Bible everywhere. Remember where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Paul said in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible talks about this consistently using the word believe. He that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There's a verse in 1 John 5:11 says, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life. So how do I get Jesus Christ as my Savior? I do what the Bible said. I believe that he is the anointed Son of God. In John 3:18, the Bible says, he that believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believes not, the wrath of God abides on him already. Jesus himself said, this is the will of God, that you believe in me, whom he have sent. So again and again and again and again and again, you find the word believe, believe, believe. I think that's a verb, and it shows action. It's non-meritorious. I mean, you don't have to do anything. You just believe on what's already been done. See, that's what faith is. Faith is an invisible asset that you have in your life that allows you to believe in an accomplished fact that Christ did in eternity past. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. So when he became our substitute, when he went to the cross and died in our place, this was a predetermined plan. It was not an accident. And if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, just simply look at that cross and say, Lord, I believe. And you will have eternal life. The Bible guarantees it. God is not a liar. He would not mislead you. And even in the Bible, you can see over and over and over again incidences exactly like this. There are many people that are going to tell you that in order to be saved, you must give up something. You must do something. You must join something. You must submit to something, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's very possible that as I'm listening to you, you are a believer. Thus you are saved. Thus you have eternal life. But it's very possible that as a believer, you've been living a defeated life. Yes, you're going to heaven. Yes, if you die, you will go to heaven. That's for sure. But in your life right now, you're not very happy. Things aren't going your way. It seems like the world just beats you up every day. Everything you try fails. It seems like you can never get ahead. Things are constantly going wrong, and you wonder why. Maybe, just maybe, it's a run of bad luck. Or maybe, just maybe, it's God trying to get your attention. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, those that he loves, he disciplines and he scourges with a whip. And sometimes when things completely go wrong and things don't go right and we can't figure it out, it drives us back to God our Father, who loves us. He's never quit loving us. And he's waiting patiently for you to come home. And so one of the things that I would encourage you today, if you're going through situations like that, is to use problem-solving device number one, which is called rebound, and confess your known sins to your Heavenly Father. Tell him exactly what you've been doing. And the Bible said that he would be faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and to purify you from all wrongdoing. But you must take that first step. God's a gentleman. He's not going to coerce you to do anything. He may convince you of your sin, and he may convict you by means of the Holy Spirit that what you're doing is sin. But you're going to have to come to God and admit it. And until you do, you can never have fellowship with your Heavenly Father, because his character is so righteous that he cannot fellowship with you in unrighteousness. And therefore, you must come to God and confess that sin. Now, I didn't say repent. A lot of people get that one all mixed up. And sometimes when they talk about that, I ask them, which of the words are they referring to that are translated repent in the Bible? Metanoeo, or metamelomai, or metanoia. And there are several Greek words all translated repent. But basically what repent means is to change your mind. It doesn't mean to basically feel sorry that you did it. As a matter of fact, if you're hanging around waiting to feel sorry, you may never confess it. But most of the time when you feel sorrow is because you got caught, or because you got into an embarrassing situation, or your health was affected because of something that you did, and then you're sorry you did it, and you ask God to forgive you for it, and he does. And then you do it again, don't you? And you ask him to forgive you for it again, and he does. Well, how many times will God forgive me for it? As often as you confess it, the Bible says. God doesn't put a time limit on it. God certainly hopes that eventually you'll grow up and get wise and grow out of that and get a hold of your life so that you don't live under control of your old sin nature, and that you can live under the power of the Holy Spirit and by the influence of his word in your soul. But sooner or later, you're going to have to come to grips with it. You're not what you think you are. You are really what you think. The real you is what's inside. It's your thought life. That's the real you. And you have a soul. Everybody has a soul. And I'm not talking about rhythm. I'm talking about the thinking part of you. The invisible part of you. It's called in the Bible your mind. It's also called in the Bible your heart. And these are the two parts of you where all thinking resides, in your mind and in your heart. The mind is where you receive the information, and the heart is where you apply the information or store it. So the heart is like the memory center and the vocabulary storage. It's your frame of reference. This is where all the Word of God you learn and store and go back and get it when you need it. And the mind is what gives you the ability to focus and concentrate when it's being taught. And so I've been talking to you about how to arm your soul. On this radio show, we've been doing a series now. This is the fourth in the series of arming your soul and watching out about what you think and learning to think divine viewpoint rather than human viewpoint, because human viewpoint is the way that Satan thinks, and it's the terms that he throws out there. It's the way that he will defeat you and discourage you. So listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Here's what he says. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So one of the keys to having contentment in your life and peace in your life is thinking about God. Listen again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. That's problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. It's believing the promises of God and standing on them. So if you have a mind that's fixed on Christ, that means you're occupied with Jesus Christ. That's problem-solving device number 10. I've taught it on this radio show many times. Being occupied with Christ, that's the basis for perfect peace in your life. See, you can't know Christ, nor can you love the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the doctrine that's in your soul, in your mind. If you don't know him, you can't love him. If you don't understand him, see, this is what the Bible says, and I've said it so many times in Jeremiah 9:23 and Jeremiah 9:24. God said, I'm looking for people that know me and understand me. How can you love a God you don't understand? And how can you love a Lord Jesus Christ that you don't know nor understand? So the only way that you're ever going to be able to know him is to learn something about him. And that's why he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So, the only way you can learn is to consistently take in the Word of God. And when you take it in, I mean study it every day. And I'm not talking about a little five-minute devotion in the morning. Those may be great and fine for some people. But I'm talking about sitting under a qualified pastor that can teach you the Word of God every day. Now, I do a lot of speaking, and I speak in a lot of private schools. And it's always amazing to me, students are, as I speak to them for 30 or 40 minutes a day, they're amazed that the time went so quickly because they were learning something. It wasn't boring. People have often told me, you're not near as boring as I thought you were going to be. It's because I don't approach it from a religious angle. I don't approach it like I'm some holy man of God coming there to straighten out these kids. I tell them right up front, I'm not here to change you. I'm here to give you information. And if there are any changes to be made, then that must be made by you. My job is to give them divine viewpoint and get out of God's way. Give them divine viewpoint and get out of God's way so that they can have the peace that God intended for them to have in their life. And you can do the same thing. That's all I'm doing on this radio show. Giving you divine viewpoint. And when the going gets rough, you can think on divine viewpoint and you can have the confidence and the peace that comes with it. And you won't fall apart. You won't get arrogant when you face even prosperity, which is usually the biggest test that anyone could face at all, prosperity. When people get prosperous, they tend to fall apart. When people get prosperous, they fail often because they can't handle the prosperity. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind means a stabilized mind, stabilized thinking. Stabilized mind is a direct result of having a mind that's free of worry, free of fear. Have you ever had something happen in your life that really made you upset and you can't quit thinking about it? And your mind keeps going back to it and keeps going back to it? That means you don't have a relaxed mental attitude. That means you couldn't let it go. And sometimes it takes a week for people to let something go. This human viewpoint thinking takes away the tranquil mind. You understand that? The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:2 that you be not soon shaken in your mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. God didn't design you to live in a worry-filled life. God didn't design you to live in a life full of guilt. That's not arming your soul. If you're going to arm your soul, you're going to have to learn to think divine viewpoint. You're going to have to learn to think as God wants you to think. So if a person can think under pressure, and he's a person that has a stabilized mental thinking, he has a stable mental attitude, and he's the kind of person that God's looking for. Now, you get somebody with a human viewpoint thinking, living in human power, human ability, well, then that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. God has provided in grace all the equipment we need and all the weapons we need to defend ourselves against the warfare of Satan who attacks our mind. And we are to live with the armor of God. Put on the armor of God, starting with the belt of truth. I've been going back and forth to this passage in this radio show in Ephesians 6:13. Stand against the strategy of Satan by putting on the belt of truth and then connecting it to the breastplate of righteousness. By the way, Paul said in Philippians 1:9, I don't have my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God. See, in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That's understanding the protocol plan of God. So if you're going to have a breastplate of righteousness, it means that you don't fight in your own righteousness, you stand in the righteousness of Christ. Let me try to explain it. God's righteousness is plus R. My righteousness is minus R. Now look at that in your mind. Look at it. plus R, minus R. God is perfect. He's plus R. Man is not perfect. He's minus R. So anything man does to impress God is repugnant to God because it's only produced by minus R. And anything God does is plus R. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he was plus R. He was perfect righteous. And the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Plus R. You want to come to God? You want to have the equivalent righteousness that God has? And you get it when you go to Christ and it's given to you. It's a trade out. He took your sin. He gives you his righteousness. And when you have plus R and God has plus R, then God's free to bless you. So when you have on what the Bible talks about, the breastplate of righteousness, that's righteousness in regards to your position and righteousness in regards to your production. So when you have righteousness in regards to your production, this means that you're doing things under the filling of the Spirit and not the energy of the flesh and human viewpoint thinking, because those things will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible goes on to talk about having shoes with firm footing of the good news. Those shoes have cleats like football shoes. They're combat shoes that the Roman soldiers used to stand firm on ground. And you are to learn enough of the Word of God to stand firm. The good news about Jesus Christ. You can tell people how to become a Christian. Don't tell them to join up. Don't tell them to shut up. Don't tell them to fess up. Tell them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. And then the Bible talks about picking up the shield of faith. The shield of faith is when you use problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. And the Bible says when you pick up the shield of faith, you can extinguish the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is his artillery attack that he'll throw at you before he actually has a frontal attack. He's going to attack your mind. He's going to attack your thinking. He's going to attack your confidence, your joy, your love, your peace. And he's going to attack it through disillusionment or discouragement. He's going to get you defeated, distracted. And the Bible says you're to put on the helmet of salvation, which means you secure your thoughts about that first. You haven't lost your salvation since you messed up. Since you did something stupid, you're still saved. You haven't lost it. The Bible says clearly, Jesus said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Neither shall anybody take them out of my Father's hand. So don't listen to some idiot that tells you, well, you're not saved anymore because you did that. That's not what the Bible says, not even close. And you're to put on the helmet of salvation and pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the two-edged sword. The Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. The two-edged sword is called the Machaira. It's the Roman sword that conquered the world. And that's your offensive weapon. It is the Word of God that is your weapon against the satanic warfare that you find yourself in. So if you're going to arm your soul, you're going to have to clothe your thoughts in divine viewpoint thinking so that Satan is not able to defeat you. You must have the right mental attitude. You must have the right thoughts that motivate and strengthen you from divine viewpoint thinking. Now, Satan's got two tactics here. When he's dealing with you, he wants to infiltrate the minds of both believers and unbelievers. This is one of the things that he wants to do. And he wants to attack the academic understanding of the Word of God. And so if he can get you to doubt, first of all, if he can get you to doubt that the gospel is true, or if he can intensify his conflict against you by attacking the understanding of the truth, then he can make you a prisoner of your own mind. You can actually be trapped in your thoughts of guilt. You can be trapped in your thoughts of worry, trapped in your thoughts of fear, trapped in your thoughts of jealousy and vindictiveness until they overwhelm you. You will be a prisoner of your mind. Or you can do what the Bible says. You can take every thought captive and make your thinking, the thinking of your very soul, make that the real prisoner. Your thought, you control your thoughts, not letting your thoughts control you. You understand that? See, when you can do that, when you can control your thoughts, not let your thoughts control you, then you're the kind of strong person that people gravitate to. People look at you. When you're looking at life from divine viewpoint, and regardless of what Satan throws at you, you stand your ground. You have on the breastplate of righteousness. You pick up the shield of faith. You have on the belt of truth. That's where all the doctrine comes from. Then you have this inner beauty in your soul, and you begin to represent Christ and his character assets by what you live and what you think, and people see it in your life. Well, people, it's very interesting. The more attractive, let me put it this way. You become more attractive every second that you look at life from divine viewpoint. Every second you look at life from divine viewpoint, you become more attractive. And sometimes people will write you off. Don't worry about that. People will say, that's just a religious nut because he's always talking about faith in God and things like that. There was a movie, it's Christmas season not long ago, and it was a movie about Simon Birch. It was a young man who believed that God had a plan for his life. He always thought about things from the divine viewpoint. He was just a kid, but he believed God had a reason to make him like he was. And in this movie, the fellow that played the pastor did an excellent job because I wanted to shoot him when I saw him. But this pastor said, no, God doesn't have a plan for your life. You're just basically a little screw-up. Well, what a joke. What an insult to the plan of God. This kid had so much beauty in his soul because he had such a tremendous faith in his life that others were attracted to him. So this is the inner beauty that I'm talking about. Great movie. If you haven't seen Simon Birch, you probably never heard it advertised because it's too good a movie. But you can check it out at your local theater or where you, not your theater, but, you know, where you rent them, places like that. Now, the tragedy is that there are not many believers that have that kind of stability in their life. And the reason is that most people don't know enough of the Word of God to fill up a thimble. They're trying to live up to a little light. They have, but the little light is about to go out. The wick on the candle's burning down, and the Bible says we're to let all kind of light shine into our life. In Psalm 119, verse 130, Psalm 119, 130, we're to let a lot of light shine into our life. In other words, when light comes into your life, you don't remain stupid. You can read it for yourself. It causes the simple to be enlightened. Remember the old KISS, K-I-S-S? I've talked about that a few weeks ago on the show. Some people say that means keep it simple, stupid. No, it doesn't. It means to keep the simple, stupid. And that's why a lot of pastors and a lot of churches don't teach you the Bible. And that's why Satan opposes the Bible, because if he can keep you stupid, he can manipulate you into doing certain things that you think will please God. And you may, in fact, do the right thing, but in the wrong way. And you may step back and take a look and say, well, look what we did. We built this building. We built this church. We did this. We did that. And that's great. That's wonderful. That's fine. But did you do a right thing in a right way? You see, Satan's got a lot of clever systems to control the souls of believers. But thank God there is a security system to protect our soul, and that is divine viewpoint thinking, so that we can think in terms of Scripture, not in terms of emotion. Divine viewpoint thinking is you thinking in terms of Bible doctrine, Scripture. And emotional thinking, well, there's no content there. Emotions reflect the character of that to which it responds. When you think in terms of emotion, then your emotions can be upped or your emotions can be down, but that's not divine viewpoint thinking. There's no doctrine there. You see, emotions are feelings, and when you make decisions based on what you feel, 90% of the time, make a bad decision. But if you make a decision based on what you think, then you can make a good decision. It's a perfect illustration. What the Bible gives a lot of, don't do this or do that, or don't do this or do that, and you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what the Bible says. Well, you got this idea that God doesn't want you to have fun. You got this idea that God doesn't want you to be happy. You got this idea that God's trying to cut into your good times? What God is trying to do is to protect you from self-destruction. But you're too dumb to see it sometimes, so you go merrily down the my way highway trying to blow yourself up as quickly as you can. And Satan laughs at you all the way because you think you got it all figured out. And you're just stupid, and he keeps you that way because he doesn't let you learn anything. Because, you see, the Bible is like a mirror. When you look into the Word of God, it reflects the real you. It reflects what you're really like. And you talk about blowing your mind. You talk about opening your eyes. You talk about, holy cow, you mean that's me? That's right. That's you, idiot, right there. And look what you're doing to yourself. Look what you're doing to your life. And somewhere, sooner or later, you either wake up or you die. Sooner or later. You only got one shot at it. You think you're going to get two or three go-arounds? You got one shot. And Satan's objective in the middle of all of this conflict is to make your soul the battlefield. And you must have that garrison in your thinking. You must not be vulnerable to all the emotional activity, especially in Christianity today, that seems to flourish on this. The one-shot dedication, come forward and rededicate your life to the Lord. I tried that myself one time. I even had a guy ask me, how do I do that? And I said, well, just rededicate. And he said, well, I tried that once and it didn't work. I said, well, try it again, rededicate. But there were no mechanics. It was like just telling the person to build a bridge, but didn't tell him how to build the bridge. I mean, how do you actually rededicate your life to the Lord if you want to rededicate? And so we get all these emotional activities in the church today that you can do some one-shot decision, or you can get some one-shot blessing that's going to make you be the person you want to be, or you can get some divine healing to have this great healing come into your life that make all your sicknesses go away. And so we have people that spend all of their time chasing these fantasies instead of learning divine viewpoint thinking or learning the Word of God. This is why Satan controls them so easily through their manipulation of their emotions. One of the greatest dangers we face in the Christian life is to assume that we know something when we really don't know anything. And when you get into this category, it's inevitable. Pressure, when it comes, will reveal what's in their soul, and that's really nothing. And they would view circumstances completely through human viewpoint, completely through the outward experience. And they are always destroyed by circumstances in their life. You have to understand this. If you're going to arm your soul, it means this. You start with what you think. That's where the arming process takes place. You must think divine viewpoint. You must learn the Word of God. You must make it priority number one in your life. You must stay filled with the Spirit every day, and you do that through rebound, and you must take in the Word of God every day, and you do that under the filling of the Holy Spirit and under the mentorship of a great pastor who teaches it to you. And as long as you sell out, as long as you say, well, I'm willing to stay under the filling of the Spirit and use rebound, but I'm not willing to find the kind of pastor you're talking about. I'm going to stay where I am. I got a lot of business opportunities in this church. I got a lot of friends in this church. I got a lot of good youth programs for my kids in this church. I got a lot of something. Are they teaching you anything? You know that in your own soul. Are they feeding you? Are you growing spiritually? It's the pastor's job, you know. Are you growing? If not, I would take a very serious look around, figure out where I could be fed before you starve to death. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you very much for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.